This is All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, director of Lincoln City Libraries. Today's book, Solar Bones, a novel by Mike McCormick, is written all in one sentence. It's in the voice of Marcus Conway, an Irish civil engineer who spends what seems like an afternoon pondering his life, memories cascading before him, beginning with his hearing the sound of the church bells and a sense of unease he has about the afternoon before him, at home with only himself, not his wife, nor his daughter, nor his son home. The first time I started in on this book, which is on this year's American Library Association Notable Books list, I barely got past the first two or three pages. I downloaded Solar Bones to my phone in a pinch because I was caught with time on my hands and no book to read. Trying to read a book that's all in one sentence from the small screen of my phone didn't work for me. So I downloaded another title and returned to Solar Bones in print format when I had time to give it its due. As I've noted previously, I don't have a lot of patience for fiction written in unusual formats unless there's a clear benefit. And I found myself, that second time, thoroughly enjoying it, impressed with McCormick's storytelling and character development. Marcus Conway's voice follows something very similar to stream of consciousness, going from story to story or place to place or person to person in a way that makes sense, just like wide-ranging conversations make sense. Sometimes a transition shows itself, sometimes not. His ruminations include his wife, daughter, and son, his job, his growing up, his father, and much more. I had expected somehow that this unconventional telling would reflect fairly unconventional content, but Marcus Conway's life seems perfectly ordinary, except that he lives an especially lively life of the mind and heart. In one of the passages that stuck with me, he describes how, as a boy, he came upon his father in a work shed. Using just a wrench, called a spanner in Ireland, his father had taken apart pretty much his whole new tractor, lining up the parts very carefully in the order in which he removed them, so that he could put it back together. Seeing these parts lined up from that hole, Conway describes how it inspired in him a worry. This is what McCormick writes. Since looking at those engine parts spread across the floor, my imagination took fright and soared to some wider, cataclysmic conclusion about how the universe itself was bolted and screwed together, believing I saw here how heaven and earth could come unhinged when some essential cottering pin was tapped out, which would undo the whole vast assemblage of stars and galaxies in their wheeling rotations and send them plummeting through the void of space towards some final ruin out on the farthest mirroring of the universe, and even if my fear at that specific moment did not run to such complete detail, only such cosmic awareness could account for the waves of anxiety that gripped me as I stood over those engine parts on the hay shed floor. Another theme to which Conway returns is his relationship with his wife, Mairead. His mind often goes back to an unfortunate event early in their marriage when, away at a conference, he had an affair, though now he and Mairead have been together long enough to have raised two children to adulthood, and he has recently nursed her through a horrible illness traced to unsanitary water. That illness began one evening when the two of them were in the city to see their daughter's art opening. And when Conway realized that one of the media she used in her paintings was her own blood, he was completely choked up and had to spend the evening on the sidewalk taking in the fresh air. Here he reflects on his reaction. Had I failed my daughter? Had I pushed her toward this, whatever this was, on the walls of the gallery? This was the question that would not resolve one way or another beneath the sifting rain which shadowed the street in both directions, with the conviction hardening within me that having lived a decent life might not in itself be enough, or a life which till now I had honestly thought had been decent, since there was now some definite charge or accusation in the air which made it appear that not having done anything wrong was not enough. Marcus Conway's long career as a civil engineer can be seen in all kinds of infrastructure in the surrounding counties. His mind returns often to a project that became a pressure cooker, a politician breathing down his neck for a new school to be open on time, and a contractor who was clearly doing shoddy work. Through most of the reminiscences and ruminations, he wonders whether he did the right thing, whether he was as good as he intended to be or hoped to be. He recognizes how much he has to be grateful for. And as his story proceeds, the author draws more attention to a sense of doom, and the reader has to wonder what role death is playing here. Toward the end of the book, Conway returns to memories of his father and his father's last tractor. At a certain point, the security systems on the new tractor had kicked in via satellite so that it couldn't be started. And that was that for his father and the new tractor. He writes, "With nothing else to be done, we turned to look up at the sky as if we might spot that enabling pulse or spark from on high. Neither of us with any clue what we were waiting for, whether or not the satellite was in some sort of stationary orbit over us, or whether we had to wait for it to rise above the horizon before it would reach out across the heavens and turn the ignition on our tractor, and it was easy to feel foolish standing there on the wet concrete, looking up at the gray sky, neither of us with anything to say as the moment deepened to that feeling of helpless stupidity when there is nothing you can do, before he threw up his hands and turned for the house without a word. The wild head on him and the hobbling walk. Where are you going?" But no word out of him as he pulled the door behind him, and it might be hindsight putting the shade on the whole thing, but I've always believed that was the moment he parted company with the world, both of them with nothing to say, turning their backs on each other. These excerpts confirm for me what I mentioned earlier. I was struck by how this most unconventional telling, all of the 217 pages in one sentence, explores some of the most conventional of topics, family, work, heritage, and one's role in the world, as pondered by a man whose outward appearance might not suggest his depth of mind. Often, at the end of a book, I'll look back to see the source of the title. In this case, it comes in a passage after Conway finishes up a Skype conversation with his son who is in Australia, and as the screen goes blank, he imagines the world itself also moving toward oblivion, and here is what he thinks. "And pulling with it also all those human rhythms that bind us together and draw the world into a community, those daily rites, rhythms, and rituals upholding the world like solar bones, that rarefied amalgam of time and light, whose extension through every moment of the day is visible from the moment I get up in the morning and stand at the kitchen window with a mug of tea in my hand, watching the first cars of the day passing on the road, every one of them known to me." And a perfect image that is, to describe this book, of so many things seeming to move toward destruction, but for the rhythms of our everyday lives that hold us in place. Other reviewers have noted just how beautifully written Solar Bones is. Mike McCormick has won several literary awards, and this book won the Goldsmith's Prize. It's described this way. The Goldsmith's Prize is awarded to a book that is deemed genuinely novel and which embodies the spirit of invention that characterizes the genre at its best. I'll be recommending this book generally with the advice to give it full attention at the start, while the rhythm of the language is established. What I found is that it took maybe 10 or 12 pages to fall into the groove of the language. And honestly, by story's end, it seemed to me that the one-sentence telling made perfect sense for the story that was told. What a perfect book group title, with the well-developed relationships between the characters and the inclusion of so many aspects of everyday life. What I admired so about Solar Bones was a completely well-drawn sense of someone else's interior life, and its inevitable benefit of inspiring me to ponder how I might draw my own. The book is Solar Bones, a novel by Mike McCormick. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online when you visit netnebraska.org/radio. for All About Books. I'm Pat Leach.